dominate your opponent. Expect the unexpected.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants. I got news for you, pal. You ain't leading but two things right now. Jack and shit. Jack left town.
I can use Kung Fu for about 3 months.
Because if this one doesn't scare you, you're already dead. From the gates of hell, they have finally come.
Chartreuse! The only liquor so good they need a color after it.
I'm telling you straight. It's my way or the highway. So anybody wants to walk, do it now.
You kids shouldn't play so rough. Somebody's gonna start crying.
We've got entirely too many troublemakers here.
They use the satanic power of their bodies to turn men and women into their bloodstains.
I will never forgive your ass for this shit. This is some fucked up Republican shit.
Bruce Lee is gone. From the gates of hell, they have finally come.
Never underestimate your opponent. Expect the unexpected.
Oh, my poor darling. Can you forgive me for having brought you to this terrible place?
Of course, Mom.
Are you gonna bark all day, little doggy? Or are you gonna bite?
Two against everything.
Is that what we are now?
Pretty much. So, was it the first movie we watched, Anguish?
Yeah.
So, there is a HD version of Anguish out there, and we watched it. What do you think about the transfer? You think it looked any better? I think
maybe slightly, yeah. But it's really slight. You're probably not really going to notice a lot of difference between this HD version and the DVD version that
Anchor Bay,
most people have if they have this movie.
Of course, you can't really talk about this movie unless you talk about some of the spoilers. So if you haven't seen it, which I would say about 80% of people haven't seen this movie, or if you just don't care, I'm going to go ahead and spoil it a little bit.
So if you don't want it spoiled for you, fast forward right now.
Right. So basically, this movie, I read on the somewhere they had quotes and stuff, and it said this director betrayed the audience and all this stuff. It's really kind of cool because it really piqued my interest because, like, what the hell is they talking about? Mm-hmm. So you know something's up when you watch it. And then let me give me a drink of watermelon juice.
But see, the first time I watched it, I hadn't read anything about it. It just sounded cool. And so I got it and watched it.
At the beginning, what's her name? Zelda Rubinstein and Michael Lerner.
Lerner.
Isn't that the same name of the mom and
Walton?
No,
I think
Walton's
one of them's Lerner and one of them's Lerner.
I think the Mrs. Walton's Lerner.
Okay, well, whatever. Somebody will correct us, I'm sure.
I guess he's some kind of eye doctor guy or
no,
surgeon.
No, he's an
intern.
They say he's a janitor, because when his mom's, like, talking, Zelda Rubinstein's character is talking to him.
I thought she said he was a janitor.
Yeah.
I mean, not janitor, but intern, because he was putting contacts in.
Yeah, but I think the reason they let him do that is because his mother was giving them money, giving money to their eye clinic.
Oh. Well, from there, we kind of see a weird relationship between two, mother and son, and I mean, she almost puts him in hypnotizes him, and she's got, like, a connection with him.
It's almost like he goes back to the womb. There's this weird thing that happens.
And we find out that they collect eyeballs, basically.
Well, I think what Zelda Rubinstein's character was wanting revenge and wanted to use her son in that revenge plot, and she just completely lost it and wanted to kill everybody.
Right. And, you know, when you're watching this, you're thinking, wow, this is going to be cool. And at one point, they pull back, and you see that there are people in the audience, and it's a movie on a screen. So it's very, you know, it's like, wait a minute, we've invested 20 minutes or so in this movie, and now it wasn't really the movie.
Yeah, these girls and some other people are supposed to be watching a film called The Mommy. That's what the thing with Zelda Rubinstein playing the mother is. That's what that's called, The Mommy.
But I do remember watching it this time, because I think I've only watched it once, maybe twice in the last 15 years or something. That there's a lot more, you know, I see what they were doing.
Steve had some technical difficulties.
Take two.
But I'm going to give a spoiler away here, so if you don't want to know a major plot point, then...
We just told the major plot point.
No, because there's another, like, thing. There's, like, a connection, sort of, between the film that the people are watching, like, the film within the film.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
And there's a killer in the theater, and he thinks he's talking to his mother, and he starts just mowing people down, just shooting them. He goes out in the lobby, and the snack counter girl, she just says, boy, you've seen this movie a lot. You must know by heart. Bam, she's gone. God just blows her away. But what I was telling Steve on a serious note is, a movie like that probably wouldn't even get made now.
No, it's too...
Because of the things that have transpired in the past year or so with, you know, crazy people coming up in movie theaters and shooting people.
Right.
It just would be too, I guess, sensitive of a subject to have a movie about this type of thing. But leave it to Lifetime. Lifetime will probably give them enough time, and they'll make a movie about that guy that shot all those people during the Batman movie, because they're kind of notorious for that. But the Lifetime Movie Network, not the Lifetime, just regular Lifetime channel. Steve must be getting bored of me because he's just laid the phone down.
No, I'm looking for
But I guess in, what, 87 or whenever this came out, it was okay to do that, to have something like that in there. And this guy, wasn't this guy a Spanish director?
Yeah, it's Biggest Luna.
Biggest Luna. And I'm trying to think of something else he did.
So, I don't know what we're talking about.
I was getting ready to talk about I had done some reading the first time I saw Anguish. And I thought I remembered reading that... Anybody that's seen this, or even if you haven't seen it, the hypnotism that happens between the mother and son, you see this swirly yellow and black going round and round. And the rumor was that people got sick in the movie theater watching this.
Right.
Or got dizzy or different things. And actually, after watching it so much, I didn't really get sick at my stomach, but I started feeling kind of woozy. Did you feel that way, Steve, or was it just me?
No, I didn't feel that way.
Well, it just kept showing it more and more. And the people in the movie theater watching the film within a film were actually getting sick. People were sweating and having stomach problems and all that.
Well, I mean, that is easy. I'm just saying, it's okay to pull out every once in a while, but it's because of the twist, it's only, the impact's only for the first time, like a lot of some of these twist movies, but it's got an unusual vibe to it. I don't know what we watch next, but I remembered that we watched Greta.
Mm-hmm.
Greta, which is one of the films on the Night Train to Terror segments, but they included the full movie on the DVD.
Which I don't know. I think it explained a lot of things that in the condensed version you didn't know what in the heck was happening.
Well, yeah, that one chick had her hair short, and then of course in this one it goes. The movie is completely nuts. I mean, it doesn't. You would think of what the tone is, which basically. this guy gets the hots for this chick he sees in the porno movie, and he goes finds her.
And she's playing piano.
Yeah. And he gets into a relationship with her, and then she has this guy who runs this club or whatever the hell he is, and he's
Georgie or
he's something. Involved with her too. And they take it takes a while, but eventually they take into they have a little club, and it's basically they try to put themselves in dangerous situations, which could lead to death.
It's sort of like repeatedly playing different versions of Russian roulette,
right? And the tone of this is just completely crazy. I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
It doesn't follow.
It's like a comedy. It got a little bit of comedy in it besides this and
crime stuff and just.
I mean, and then you got the I won't go into details, but there's a transgender kind of thing going on. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff in this movie, and you would think it would. I mean, I do think parts of it are boring, but anyway. It was interesting to see the full movie and what they condensed it down to. And also, this movie has a narration, which is even stranger, because, of course, they have a narration on that other, on the Night Train of Terror. It was mastered from one-inch tape, whatever that means. I mean, is that...
Which we thought it was going to look really crappy, but it didn't look too bad.
I mean, is cassette tape about 1 inch? I think so. I don't know. But, anyway, I mean, it was interesting to see. There was tons of nudity from the chick that was there.
Yeah, well, every time you turn around, she was either in bed with somebody or on a porno film.
She just liked to stay topless, hang around the house.
Oh, and had a garter belt.
T-O-P-L-E-S-S.
Yeah.
But
for those of you that listen to Howard Stern, you know what that is.
Okay, so, I mean, that was kind of cool. And I mean, what was the other one besides... The full one we watched.
But Curline Head?
Curline Head. We watched that, which I didn't even know.
Well, okay, let me say, I listened to it while I was decorating the Christmas tree.
Yeah, it was, I heard about it on the Hysteria Continues, never heard of it before. And
the guys on Hysteria
Continues. I haven't got to the point where, but I'm sure they're not going to, like, praise it. Mm. It's supposed to be a horror comedy, but I didn't see much. It was like, an hour of crap, and then the killing started, which that wasn't that even impressive. And the killer wears some kind of baby skirt. It looks like a baby.
That's the crinoline.
Yeah, it's like he's putting it over his head.
And he looks like the judges from the old days.
I thought he looked like one of those life-size dolls who was wearing a skirt, and he put the skirt on his head. The Chief Buffy.
There was a chick called Buffy, I think. She was supposed to be like the head of this sorority. And there's one chick that Steve said she got all
whored up?
Yeah, Steve kept saying she got whored up. But she looked like she should still be like maybe a freshman in high school or something. But she wasn't all that good looking or anything either. And she... gets off the phone with somebody after calling somebody a bitch and all, and they're not starting shit with her. And she puts on, what does she put on them black stockings and puts makeup on her face, combs her hair a little bit and stuff. But anyway, she's supposed to be getting into this sorority, but she doesn't even look like it's time for her to go to college. Then they got this chick that's supposed to be the sports, the one that's into sports. And my gosh, the woman looks like, no offense to the woman that was the actress, but she shouldn't have been playing a college student. She looked like somebody's soccer mom. You know, she just had like regular shorts and some old blue t-shirt on. And I swear, she looked like somebody that was hanging out at a kid's soccer game or a kid's t-ball game.
Okay. Well, either way you look at it, it's not fun to watch.
No, it was not.
And, well, we tried to watch a movie called Bella Kiss Prologue, but, I mean, I don't know if I'll pick it up and try to finish it, but it's a long movie, and it's
strange. It's boring.
Yeah, it is very boring. Nothing's happened of consequence, so we won't talk about that. But we did, I showed Dana, she watched most of Soylent Green with Charlton Heston.
I did like that.
It's one of those, what I like to call his... sci-fi movies. He did like three of them together around the same
Well, Planet of the Apes.
Planet of the Apes, this, and Omega Man, which I love Omega Man.
I'm ashamed to say that I had never seen Soylent Green prior to this. I just always heard the great line.
Yeah. It's a... It's pretty interesting to see it now, based when I was a kid.
It was kind of creepy, kind of like Invasion of the Body Snatchers, only it didn't have anybody, taking over anybody's bodies or anything, but it was creepy like that, I thought.
Well, basically the world's kind of gone to shit because pollution has killed all the vegetation and pretty much all the animals, and they're just kind of making food out of algae and other stuff, and then
plankton in the ocean.
And pretty much the people just don't do anything anymore. Everything just broken down. It just stays broken down.
Well, and the only people that can get like fresh vegetables and fruit and things like that are the really super rich people.
Well, it's just like everything. So if you haven't seen it, I would definitely check it out. It's got a 3-pack out with that, Omega Man and Logan's Run, which is pretty cool too. So on Blu-ray for like under $14. So
and guess what else they. They call these they're live-in prostitutes. They call them furniture.
Yeah, furniture.
And there's personal furniture and there's building furniture.
Yeah, building furniture is like the sofa in the lobby.
Well, somebody described this as like the building furniture. They can have sex with the guy that owns his apartment. Owns this complex or whatever, or rents this space, can have this woman, and he can have her anytime he wants to, and it's basically the same way as if he was laying on his couch watching TV or reading a book. She's furniture.
Right.
And I thought that was so degrading. Of course, this was made in, 73?
Roundabouts.
Okay. Well, women were probably at that time still, trying to make a point that they weren't, objects. And I think that movie was saying something about women. Women aren't objects for men to just manipulate and use for whatever.
All right.
Steve.
Go burn your bra.
I'm making a point about this film.
I hear you.
Okay, shall we ask the... Who made this movie? He's probably dead now.
Who made the movie?
Who directed it?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I'm sure the guy's dead, but if you were to ask him, I'm sure he'd tell you that was probably the plan.
Robert Fletcher, or Fleischer.
Fleischer.
Another guy in this movie was Edward V. Robertson in this last movie because basically he knew he was going to die when he was making it. He did a lot of old stuff in the, he did like old gangster movies in the 30s. Mm-hmm. He was, it looked like he directed Conan the Destroyer. How about that?
Huh,
he did die. He died in 06. He did Tora, Tora, Tora.
Oh, he did that too? Cool.
He did a...
Well, and this was also...
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Well, that's got to be a lot.
Red Sonja. Oh, he did Amityville 3D, Dana.
Oh, interesting.
So he did some Bronson movies, Mr. Majestic, Mandingo. Hello.
He did some stuff people wouldn't know.
Yeah, jazz singer with your boy Neil Diamond.
Love Neil Diamond.
Dr. Doolittle. How about that, Dana? He did Dr. Doolittle.
You know what else?
Fantastic Voyage, Cracking the Mirror. There's a bunch, he did a bunch of stuff from the 50s on up to.
Yeah, he gives the illusion that he's trying to play a good character, but he always ends up being arrogant and kind of a douchebag. He has that air about him until like the very end of a movie, and then he's kind of desperate and screaming at everybody and stuff like that. But
I guess that's a way of. He probably a way of showing confidence and also a way of seeing the people see him and then they kind of gravitate toward him because he seems like knows what's going on and then then you see a little bit more of the human side later on in the movie. He kind of does that through a lot of his movies, even like Planet of the Apes.
He seems cold, like a cold exterior he has. Like he's a cop or detective or something in Soylent Green. And this guy gets murdered, so he's investigating this. And he just comes in there, it's like, hey you, who are you? And, what's your place and all this? And then he steals from, everywhere he goes to investigate, he steals stuff.
Well.
And takes it back to his friend.
Well, it doesn't seem like that's out of place. Nobody really says much, so I think maybe it's commonplace.
It was like a whole bag of stuff he stole from that one place.
Well, I mean, it's real good, and if you like the movie, you can, like I say, you can get a triple pack with Soylent Green, Omega Man, and Logan's Run for like $14 on Amazon.
Is that a DVD?
Blu-ray disc.
Ooh, Blu-ray.
Three Blu-ray disc set. So, yeah, that's a way of getting
it cheap.
So they're
not doubling up on the...
No, I mean, most of those three movie sets are pretty much on there. They just put all the Blu-rays into one case, so... But we're going to look around and see if we can find something else to watch, and we'll be back after this important message.
Be afraid, unless you're beautiful and in your bedroom and alone. National General Pictures presents Knife for the Ladies. The day Jack the Ripper came west, terror strikes again and again as a psycho killer stalks his female victims in a western town where violence breeds violence and the hand of death reaches from beyond the grave. To all women, warning. Come prepared to scream. But don't come alone. Knife for the Ladies. Rated R. Under 17. Not admitted without parent.
Thank you.
Dana, how did you enjoy the Goblin concert?
I thought it was awesome.
So, even though Claudio wasn't there, it was still pretty good.
I have to admit, even though Claudio Simonetti was not performing with them, it was still an excellent show.
This was kind of unusual because it was in the, what they call the ballroom at the, was it the Taft Theater. And it's literally in the basement. It's a pretty sized area, but very intimate. I mean, I wouldn't guess maybe 200 people were there, and we were within 30 feet of a stage.
Yeah, we could get pretty close.
We could have got closer if we wanted to, but we wanted to hang back so we didn't get too crowded. It was just, I must admit I wasn't into it. Then they played the song for Sleepless, and I was
is that at the point that you got in?
Yeah, because that fucking rocked, and I was like, yeah. And they had a little screen behind them, or sheet, as I think Jason said. And they were showing, like, some video stuff and movies that, you know, they were playing the songs from with some effects and stuff. Also had a ballerina or a little dancer girl that came out.
She did different things, like when they were doing Dawn of the Dead or Zombie. She looked like a zombie and she was lurching around on the GPS just fell off.
Hold that for me.
But she was lurching around like a zombie. And then during the Suspiria selection, she looked like a little ballerina. It was just really cool.
Put your earmuffs on, Dana. Plus, she was hot.
No.
She looked like she should have been in an Argento movie to me. She had long, thick black hair and kind of a...
Looked like one of his intended victims.
Expression, or the way her face looked and everything.
She looked like a little doll is what she looked like.
And of course, she's got an Italian name, so... I don't know.
She looked Italian.
So, it was definitely an experience. I thank our friends Sarah and Jason for mentioning it to us. I don't think
we wouldn't have known. They were the ones that told us that they were going to be performing in Cincinnati. So.
Yeah, so it was pretty cool when they started playing a lot of the songs. From the movies. They play a lot of songs that were not out from many films, just on their early albums and stuff, which is fine.
But those were good too. Steve's GPS is not going to stay up there.
That's alright. It'll be alright.
Okay.
But, yeah, the only drawback is I got to get up in about 5 hours, so.
Yeah.
So,
and I don't.
Yeah, well. So I think I'm going to watch some Argento movies this weekend, Dana.
I think that's an excellent idea, Steve.
All right. So we're going to continue driving, and we'll be back after this.
They're showing clips of the
deep.
got finished watching Sleepless, which Dana...
I'd never seen it.
I got this. I was telling Dana I bought this off VHS back in like 2000, 2001. Somebody had it. I probably got a torrent of it or something and used that to make it up, put it on VHS. I don't know. But what'd you think about it, Dana?
I liked it really, really well. It was almost, to me, it was almost classic Argento, even though it was a, what year did you say it was?
They say 2000, but I mean, yeah, around 2000, 2001.
And Steve and I were talking about it. It has a 80s feel to it.
Yeah, everything kind of looks like the 80s, some of the chicks. Of course, Italy at that time looked like, maybe, I guess according to this, they all looked like they're a little, you know, they a little behind the times with fashions and everything else. So
I think they are.
So it kind of looked like late 80s, but which is fine by me.
Well, something else I wanted to talk about was the special effects. I won't go into detail about them in case somebody hasn't seen this movie. But it's hard to find, even in older movies, realistic special effects. These special effects look pretty realistic.
Well, I mean, they look... They are realistic to a degree, but you can tell that they're fake. But
well, yeah, you can always tell that they're
fake. Which is kind of even... But the main gist of the story is that Max Van Sydow. He plays a retired detective, chief police detective. And at the beginning of the movie, there's a hooker and a guy, and she kind of sees too much of his stuff. He's got a little bunch of weapons, and it looks like he wrote a book about his crimes, and then he tracks her down and kills her, and it kind
of... She accidentally, she's trying to get out of the apartment or the house, she accidentally...
Which leads to a pretty cool scene on the train, and great music by Goblin, which, from my understanding, Argento didn't have Goblin do the soundtrack. They kind of, whoever released the movie kind of took it behind, took it in their own
they
hands to get Goblin to do the soundtrack and re-scored it. Which is fine by me. I like the score. I bought it years ago from a now defunct website called Shocking Images or something like that. But there's some killings done by a killer dwarf from like 1983 that seems to be coming back. But the thing is that they found the dwarf's body back then. So is it the killer dwarf's ghost?
We don't know. We're not going to give it away.
No, but Arrow's got a great release of this. The U.S. release was a full screen version. This, is, of course, is widescreen. And
are both of them uncut?
I don't know. I mean, I think that was...
I mean, this appeared to be uncut. I just wonder.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is... And there's a lot... You know, that at the end there's a really good gore scene, which I didn't recall because it's been a while since I've seen this. But I recommend the Arrow release of Sleepless, or the Italian title
is... How do you pronounce that? Nonchiano or something?
Nonchiano.
Yeah.
That which means... Which a little literally translated means Book of the Dead.
Well, that's what
okay. No, literally translated, it means don't sleep or something like that.
I thought maybe it meant no sleep or something.
So they changed the title. But anyway, great movie.
Excellent movie.
One of the last really good Argento movies. Not one of his classics, but, you know,
one
good.
Of his classics would have been Deep Red or Suspiria.
Right.
Or
this is more on the lines of opera, which I like, but
I'm still trying to remember if I watched Opera.
I think we might have to watch another one. But
maybe not tonight.
No,
though.
But let's talk a little bit about the Goblin concert, because there's been some kind of cool follow-ups on Facebook.
A lot of people been putting stuff.
Yeah,
not a lot of people we didn't realize were even at the concert, because like we said, it was dark in the room.
Yeah, we were. We found out that we're right behind Tim Lucas, the
The Video Watchdog.
Video Watchdog wrote the All Colors of the Dark Bava book. I mean, it was pretty neat.
He's written a lot of things, actually.
Yeah, he's written a lot of books, and he's on a lot of the Bava Blu-ray, or not Blu-rays, but just DVDs and Blu-rays
and
commentaries.
To be honest, I've been I don't know if I'd say a fan, but I've respected his work for a long time, so it's really kind of thrilling to me that we were behind him at the concert.
Yeah, I mean, it's just weird. But
it's weird who you connect up with sometimes through these kind of things.
Yeah, and he messaged me and was talking about the, he asked me if I was the guy. There was this really annoying guy that just started yelling out, Helena Marcos is a witch. And he said that at least 10 or 15 times.
Oh, or possibly more.
We couldn't hear some of the, you know, the Italian guy, the goblin guys were talking a little bit, and he was screaming over top of him. He was like, and Tim Lucas asked me if I was that guy, and I said, nope, I'm not that much of an asshole. To be honest with you, I'm assuming that's from Suspiria. I'll be honest, I'm kind of dumb.
That was the only thing I could think of that would be.
Well, I mean, that's the only movie he's done, a witch movie besides The Third Mother, so I'm thinking, or Mother of Tears.
Uh-huh.
Another guy was a Christian Hartman. He messaged me, and I think we got a picture of him. He was standing right next to Tim Lucas.
When I took one of the pictures of the band, all these people were in my shot. So.
Yeah, Dana got a back shot of all the famous people and stuff. But we was talking to Dana. I think he got, in front of us, and I was telling Dana, I was calling the crazy Ben Franklin guy.
Yeah.
Because he had his bald on top with long gray hair, and it was stringy, and he was really into the music. And
well, he wasn't annoying like Mr. Hoodman, the guy that kept putting his hood on in the building, and it was, what, 68 degrees at night?
Why did you have
a jacket with a hood?
Well, sometimes you got to be cool. And I thought I was having deja vu at one point, because this one dude had his jacket on his shoulder, you know, not like over his shoulder, but like it was still kind of wearing it, but it was hanging off one shoulder. He walked in front of me. Then the one guy that we thought was some guy who security with the puffy hair, he walked in front of me. And a few minutes later, they did the same thing. I was like, wait a minute. Am I living in a time warp?
Well, I was trying to figure out if those were security guys, if they were looking for dope or what.
I don't know what they were, and doesn't really matter.
Mr. Hoodman did make me sort of nervous, because he stood there, then he put his hood on, and he stood there and kind of wobbled back and forth a little bit. Then he just turns around and walks, almost brushes up against me when he goes past, and I'm like, that guy's just weird.
But that was
the only weird experience.
The only thing that surprised me afterwards was my ears didn't ring. Did your ears ring?
No, and I think that was probably because it wasn't a big venue for it. I think when they have those big venues, it echoes worse and stuff in those. Because when I went to that Aerosmith concert back in 04, I had to leave and go to the bathroom and then come back. And me and my cousin were yelling at each other because we couldn't hear. I didn't have that problem when I came out of the Goblin concert at all. So that was good.
Yeah, I mean, it was I was able to get up and go to work the next day without too much problem. Got a little tired during the day, but I slept about 9.5 hours yesterday, and this morning was rough getting up.
It was for me, too. I didn't wake up until that alarm went off.
But, you know, it was fun. Still got upset about they had posters there that were signed for sale, and then I ordered 2 posters online. Still
and you
waiting.
Still hadn't got them.
No. And have no clue how to email anybody.
But we did get a shirt.
Yeah, we got a shirt.
Which I've been wearing for the last 2 days. I said I get to wear it first.
So, we're having a good time. Probably want to watch another Giallo, but it's not going to be an Argento one. It's going to be a different one.
Oh, I don't know. I'm getting kind of sleepy. I got to eat something.
Well, hello.
I don't get sleepy. That's a surprise for Steve. I don't get sleepy this early.
But,
it ain't 10 o'clock.
At this point, I'm going to go ahead and we're going to take a break and I'll play the theme for Sleepless. And
you going to play it from the Goblin concert? No, because we didn't.
No, unless I could find it online.
Any of that.
But there'll be some more music from there and some, you know, stuff that's online and then stuff that we taped. So we'll be back after this.
back after a long weekend or not watching movies.
We had a busy day yesterday, though.
Yeah, I think I watched something. I thought it was something you didn't want to watch. What was that?
Wrestling, maybe.
Well, we did watch Kingdom of Spiders.
Oh, with the roof truck.
Yeah, and that was...
Which was hilarious.
This was funny, because, I mean, I've seen it before, and I've tried to watch it a few times, but never quite made it through, and I forgot the ending. But, yeah, the riff tracks...
You mean the model, the yes. City model with the webs on?
Spoiler! But, yes, there's a lot of spider movies in the 70s. There's one, I think it was a TV movie called, or maybe it wasn't, called Tarantulas, Deadly Cargo. Yeah. But, yeah, it's fun. Bill Shatner and Tiffany Bowen. Mm-hmm. I think it was one of her last roles. She really didn't do a whole lot. She's kind of not talking about her exploitative movies.
Well, she was in a movie called The Candy Snatchers.
Mm-hmm.
That I have, which sounded really, really good, but actually was sort of goofy. I don't know if Steve has seen The Candy Snatchers or not.
I have, but it's been so long since
I just was expecting it to be, like, darker and stuff, and you had these people, like, dressing, putting mustache and glasses and them funny little nose things on, and they kidnapped this girl, but that's, you know, that's for another day. Me and Steve might watch that again sometime or something, but I like her character a lot better in Kingdom of the Spiders, to be honest.
Then we had to watch some Giallo, so we watched Deep Red off the Blue Underground Blu-ray, which I hadn't saw. It looked really good. I don't know if it's any better than the the Arrow Blu-ray. But
well, one thing I noticed, the little red-haired girl that tortures the poor old lizards.
Yes.
I never noticed in all the other versions that I saw that she put, like, a pin through it. I thought she was, like, cutting them or something like that. I could never see that pin clear enough.
No, I guess. Some of them, they actually have a close-up on the lizard.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, you can see the pin a lot closer. But this version didn't have that, so I guess
that's... Yeah, but it was a lot plainer,
I think. Watched the U.S. version, I guess, or didn't watch the extended version, which has got an extra 20 minutes, mm-hmm. pretty much. But Deep Red's always been one of my favorites. And
mine, too.
And now I've got the slightly larger television. It looked really good, and the audio was just outstanding coming out of all the speakers, and the music was just great. So
I just remember the concert.
Yeah, yeah. I'll probably pad out this podcast with a lot of music from there and stuff like that, because I know we didn't watch a lot of movies this weekend, but hopefully we'll watch a little more next weekend.
And well, we can talk about what we did do. We went and got groceries, and we took Linnea, our dog, to get her picture taken with Santa Claus, which was, I hate to say it was a horrifying experience for her, but I think she thought we were going to leave her there with the Santa Claus, but we didn't. We brought her back home, but she was dressed in her little red dress with the snowflake.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll have some better pictures than what me and Steve could take at a later time, because there was a professional or semi-professional photographer there with a nice camera taking plenty of pictures. And then last night we went out to a very nice steak place.
Yeah.
Steve's
at a work Christmas dinner. So me and Dana... Probably, I think it's around $70 for both our meals combined.
But we didn't have
to pay for it. Yeah, that was the people buying $40 steaks, but I ended up getting like a $27 meal. And
I had a $18 salad that had tenderloin steak in it. And I had an $8 piece of key lime pie.
But we were there for like 2.5 hours or so. But I knew when we came home, I told Dana beforehand that, you know, there ain't no staying up for me. I went right to bed. So, and that kind of killed my chances. I was hoping to watch some movies last night. But anyway, next weekend, we're just going to do a little Christmas shopping. Then we'll be watching movies all day long.
We have to complete our Christmas shopping.
Right.
Because it's getting too close. And
right? So I'll just go ahead and put some more Goblin out there for the end music.
Well, I think that sounds good. That sounds like a good plan, Steve.
All right. See you later.
Please welcome on the keyboards a wonderful musician, Maurizio Guarini.
Maurizio!
A drumming legend, Agostino Morazzo. On the bass, the king of the Rickenbacker, Fabio Pignatelli. And please, another great musician, the guitar wizard, maestro Massimo Morante. Thank you, Goblin.
Donald Marcos, I win.
And now, I introduce the Goblin, the young Goblin.
Common keepers, Mr. Aiden Zemi.
Three, four.